Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do count it a privilege to be back here one more time. And my son Noah is not here today. He got caught up at work and couldn't come in. And so we miss him. He does a great deal to help us on the radio broadcast. But he always takes a moment and welcomes our listeners right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, and also our Saturday radio broadcast as well on 690 AM Bristol, Virginia, and also 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And as we've said, this is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We want to take just a moment to invite you to come be with us if you're in the listening area. Maybe you're looking for a church home. We'd love for you to come visit. Maybe you are just passing through. A lot of times we have visitors throughout the year that come to Boone or come to the area and drop in to visit with us. That's always a blessing, especially when it's somebody that has heard us on the radio and has come just for that. And so we appreciate that as well. But Mount Lebanon, 10 a.m. Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, second and fourth Sunday night at 6, every Wednesday night at 7, and we're currently preaching or teaching through the book of Mark, and I've really enjoyed preaching through the book of Mark. We're in chapter number 11 and have been for over a year now. Well, not in chapter 11, but in the book of Mark, and really enjoying our Wednesday night studies. Here on Blessings of Liberty, we have been doing a series on the subject of what I can do for my country. And this is, I forget now how many weeks, 7 or 8 weeks we've been looking at this subject of what I can do for my country. And, you know, I love my country. I want to do something to be a help, to be a blessing, to be a positive influence. And the first thing we looked at, which we took several weeks to cover and study about, was the subject of prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2 says, first of all, let everything be done. First of all, pray. That's what we're supposed to do. And so we spent several weeks on prayer and how that we're to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so we talked about prayer and how important prayer is. And prayer is not a little thing. Prayer is a big thing. Prayer is a battering ram. Prayer gets things done. Prayer changes things. And so the importance of prayer, first of all, we dealt with that. Then we talked about how we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful to our message and the truth of the gospel. And we need to be faithful to our man. The Bible talks about there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so we need to be faithful unto him. And we need to be faithful unto our methods. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it comes back to prayer once again. And so we dealt with that. Last week, we talked about the importance of the local church, talking about what I can do for my country. Well, what do those two things have to do with each other? They have a great deal to do with each other. The local church is what we're talking about. The true church is local and it is visible. And all throughout the New Testament, if you just read through the New Testament, or if you just read in the book of Acts, you find that the church was a local, visible body of baptized believers that worked together to proclaim the gospel and to see souls saved. And then they discipled those people and they organized themselves into a church and they went out and they done it again. So they would preach and they would disciple and they would establish and then they would repeat. And the churches in the New Testament, or if you just think about the books in the New Testament, you think about Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, you think about Corinthians, Thessalonians, all of these were places. And in these places, there was a local church. And so the local church, what we're talking about, we're not talking about a grand organization. We're not talking about some headquarters somewhere. We're not talking about some man being proclaimed or promoted as the head of the church. We're talking about local assemblies, local churches, and how very important they are. Much of what is good about America can be traced directly back to the influence of the local church. One of the last things we said last week when we went off the air, and we run out of time talking about this, but we begin to talk about the Pilgrims and how the Pilgrims came to this country, came to America, and they came as a body of believers. They operated as a body of believers, as a church. They worshiped together. They prayed together. They made decisions together. And their primary influence was the Lord and the Bible and what was good one for another. They are a great example of a body of Christians working together, and that is how they came. That was the basis for their form of government. The first document in America, as far as official government document, is the Mayflower Compact. And it starts out, "In ye name of God, amen." And they came together and they cared for one another and they made decisions together. And the local church is very important in our American society, in the history of America. In fact, the local church is the community's most valuable asset. Now, an asset is something that adds to. It's something that gives value to. There's assets and there's liabilities. Liabilities are things that take away from. They devalue a community. They lessen. An asset adds to, a liability takes away from. An asset in the community, something that adds value to, is the local church. A liability is something that takes away from. I remember in Boone several years ago when they, this has come in different stages, when they brought beer and wine. And for a long time in Boone, Boone was a dry town. And Watauga County is a dry county, and you couldn't get beer and wine. And then they brought liquor in. But with all of this beer and wine and liquor, you've got more liability. You've got more drug abuse. You've got more crime. You've got more vandalism. You've got more domestic violence. You've got more everything. It's a liability. They say, oh, it brings in revenue. But that revenue, if you have to hire more police and you have to hire more sheriff's deputies and you clog up the court system and you have deaths and you have sickness and you have accidents, is it really adding to? So there's an asset that adds to. There's a liability that takes away from. But the local church is, in fact, the community's most valuable asset. People sometimes will say, well, I want to move to this area because they have a good school, or because shopping is close by, or they have a hospital, they have doctor's offices, whatever the case might be. I read an article in the newspaper the other day down in around Winston-Salem. They're talking about building a new library, and they were talking about how important it is, and people are excited about a new library and all the things that they're going to offer. And a library is a good thing. It's a good asset for a community to have. But of all the things a community could have, the church is the most valuable. Once upon a time in America, the church and the school operated out of the same building, and they operated and they were guided by the same standard, and that was the Bible. And I cannot help but think about when I was growing up, my family used to watch Little House on the Prairie, and there were just about four buildings in town that were important. You think about those of you that are old enough to remember, maybe you've seen the reruns. And you had the general store, and you had the doctor's office, and you had the lumber mill, and most of everything that went on in town operated around the church. And the church also served as the school. And so that building had a dual purpose. And you know, most of the major things that happened there revolved around the church. And that was a picture of life in early America. Most of the time, the school and the church, it served the same purpose. In fact, the church that I pastor, Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, they were established in 1891, I believe it is, if my memory serves me correctly. And Mount Lebanon Baptist Church was started in the Bryan Schoolhouse. It was started in a schoolhouse. And so for a while, the schoolhouse and the church, they operated out of the same building. And I remember my grandpa Greer, he was telling me one time, I wanted him to tell me how he come to know the Lord, how that he knew that he was saved. And he told me that when he was a little boy, see, years ago, churches used to have two-week revivals. And during those two-week revivals, they would have a day service and a night service. And he told me how that he was going to school and school let out during the daytime when the church had revival, and all the students, they would march them up to the church. And so they let out school to go to revival in the local church. And he was talking about that revival, and that's how he got saved and come to know the Lord. And so if we really look back in America and we look back at our history, it would amaze you how what an impact the local church has had upon our country, and many of the great, great things that we look to are actually a result of the local church operating in the community. Once upon a time, the church and the school operated out of the same building. The church supplied the library. The church supplied the hospital. And on we could go. Well, we want to give you five things today describing the value of the local church. And I'm going to read just a few verses out of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 and get our five things out of the first 10 verses. Well, actually, chapter number 1 is just 10 verses, but I'm not going to read all 10 verses. But when you read in the Bible, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, they were a model church. If you said, we want our church to be like, you would say, we want our church to be like the church at Thessalonica, as opposed to maybe the church at Corinth in the Bible. The church at Corinth, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, they had all kinds of problems. But the church at Thessalonica was a very good church, a model church. And there's some things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 I want to point out, talking about the value of the local church. First of all, the local church has relationship value. You know, people today, they're looking for relationship and unity. Wouldn't it be good if we had unity? Wouldn't it be good if we could all get along? Wouldn't it be good if we could agree? Well, the local church teaches and promotes that. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible said, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The local church has relationship value. And some men are mentioned here in chapter number 1. Paul is mentioned, and Silas and Timothy. And they had a relationship with the church. And when it's talking about the church in Thessalonica, the church of the Thessalonians, that's the members there, the people there. And they had a relationship with the church and the members. And the members had a relationship with Paul and Silas and Timothy. And this relationship was based upon all of their relationships with, as it says here, God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There are multitudes out here today of organizations, clubs, associations, groups. Some of these are very worthwhile, some not so worthwhile. But there's only one that offers, promotes, sanctions, endorses, encourages, hopes, and prays for you and I to have a right relationship with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and one another. And that relationship is the local church. Ever since the days of John the Baptist, ever since the days of the disciples, believers had been meeting and worshiping together, worshiping the Lord, the King of Kings. And the Lord has been meeting with those people. And for thousands of years now, local churches have went through all kinds of things in all different countries and under all different circumstances and in all different economies and places and during good times and bad times and times of war and times of peace and overall. Now, I know there's some that would say, well, what about this and what about that? But overall, like some of the songs we sing, oh, what fellowship, oh, what joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. There's a community, a relationship within the local church that you cannot find in the NRA. You know, there's all kinds of organizations. The PGA, they keep sending me mail. I haven't been golfing for years now, but I keep getting stuff from the PGA. I think I was a member once upon a time, got a little sticker, got a magazine. And I guess it's a great organization as far as that's concerned. But it doesn't promote a relationship value like the one you find in the local church. The Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the Masonic Lodge, the Rotary, the Justice League, whatever. I mean, any organization that you want to pick out. None can boast what the church boasts of. Talking about a bond of relationship between all kinds of different people, old people and young people and rich people and poor people and business people and business owners and employees. And I mean, in the church, there's just a special relationship. We sing a song sometimes at Mount Lebanon about, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. It has relationship value that you cannot find in any other organization in the world. Well, second of all, the local church has a reminding value. It reminds us of some things. Verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. There's three things there talking about our reminding value. The local church, the people. Now, we're not talking about a building. We're talking about people that work and worship together. It is a reminder that God loves them. It says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. And we're reminded that the Lord loves us. It's a labor of love. And love is the banner under which we work and operate in what we do by our actions, by our attitudes. Jesus said in John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So it's a work and a labor of love. And people do what they do in the church, not because they're paid a big salary, not because they get a lot of good PR in the media, not because they're recognized by the world, but it's just a labor of love. Now, if you want to find something worthwhile, find something that people will do, whether anybody praises them or not, whether they get any pay or not. They just do it because they love to do it and because they love the Lord and they want to honor and they want to obey them. Him, you find that in the church. It has a reminding value that God loves them and we're to love one another. The church is a reminder of life after death. That's something we need to be reminded of. We're not going to live here forever. We're not going to be Americans forever. We're talking about what we can do for our country. The local church prepares us and helps us not only here, but in the life to come. Every time we meet and worship together, it is a reminder that we serve a risen Savior. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So the church reminds us that there's a hereafter, reminds us that there's a judgment day, reminds us that there's someone watching other than just we ourselves, but that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout all the earth. And God sees and God knows what's going on. The ministry of the church reminds us of that. The church is a reminder of opportunity offered. Opportunity offered. I think about the church bells ringing on Sunday morning, whether you're there or not. If you're within earshot distance, it's a reminder that here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to get right with God. Here's an opportunity to do what's right. Each person must reject or ignore or neglect the efforts of the church to preach the gospel, to invite. Why do people invite you to church anyway? Because they want you to come to church? Well, yeah, I'd love for you to come to church. But the real reason why the church invites is that every person might have an opportunity to have a right relationship with God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, might be prepared not only in this life but in the life to come, might be reminded that there is such a thing as love expressed in this world. So the local church has a reminder of very, very important things. The local church, we said first of all, and we need to move on, time will run out, but we said it has relationship value, and we said it has a reminding value. And number three, the local church recognizes the value of the individual. We think about, well, we want our children to have confidence, and we want them to have self-esteem, and we want them to learn, and we want them to be able to function in society in a positive way. And, you know, we think about a whole lot of things that we have left up to the school to do. But I'll tell you today, the local church also, more so, recognizes the value of the individual. Now, Paul is writing to this church, and he says something about them in verse number 7, so that you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They were doing the work of the local church, and they were exercising the gifts that God had given unto them. The church offers an outlet for individual life work. And the Lord has given us various talents, and He has given us various gifts that we are to exercise, that we are to use for Him, for His honor, and for His glory. So what can you do? What is your talent? What is your gift? Can you teach? Can you organize? Can you work? Can you sing? Can you pray? Can you serve? Can you preach? Whatever your talent is, whatever your God-given gift is, can be used in the ministry of the local church for His honor and for His glory. And so they were working together as a body of believers, and they were getting the word out, and the Lord was using them. It offers a school of growth for the individual life in the context of the local church. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 15 talks about some gifts God gave to the church. He gave some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that we may grow up into Him. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to grow as Christians. We are to grow as individuals. Now, in my secular work, talking about not pastoring, not in church, but when I've worked on a job, when I've worked in business, when I was in the military, when I was in school, I've been to all kinds of schools. I've been to all kinds of seminars. I have been to all kinds of classes. I have taken courses. I have gained something from them. But nothing has come close to helping me grow like my time in church, like the time that I have had opportunity to serve in church. The first time I remember ever successfully speaking in public was not in school, but it was in church. Somebody asked me to open up and read a devotional and give a little comment or two. And so there's been a lot of opportunities for growth down through the years in the local church, and I have grown. I've gained some knowledge in different schools and classes, but nothing has helped me socially, in my family, personally, financially, like the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. I got that in church, in applying principles to live a successful life. I got that in church, not in a seminar, not in a class. I've been to all kinds of these things, and they all promise and they have good advertising, but most of them are sort of flat. But I've really got some help for my life in church. The local church recognizes the value of the individual. The local church has redemptive value in the community. Verse number 8, he said, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia. Verse number 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. The local church has redemptive value in the community in its message. And its message is Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's the message of the church. I've been preaching in revival over at Beulah Baptist Church in Meadowview, Virginia. And I was preaching last night, I believe it was, and I said, you know, the answer, what our country needs, the answer is within these four walls. We have the answer. We have what our country needs on our laps, our Bibles, the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That changes lives. That changes hearts. That changes minds. That puts families back together. That reunites children with their parents. That gives revival. That gives hope. So there's the redemptive value of the church. I was raised in church. I'm thankful for that. I've got a lot out of it down through the years. But the greatest thing that I've gotten was the message of the gospel, and that I took it to heart and believed, and so have a hope of heaven, a home in heaven when I leave this earth. The local church has redemptive value. It recognizes the value of the individual. It has a reminding value. But last of all today, the local church has a restraining value in the community. Now, Paul talked here to the Thessalonians, and he talks about how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They had not been serving the living and true God. They had been serving idols. And if you know anything about the society, the Roman society, their idol worship, it was very crude. It was very immoral what they did in their idol worship. But they turned from that to serve the living and true God. And, you know, a lot of times people move. They come to the mountains, or they come to the Bible Belt, and they might laugh. They might say something. Well, there's a church on every corner, and sometimes some places there is. But have you ever noticed what's not on every corner? There's not an X-rated store. There's not a gang. There's not a brothel. There's not a all these kinds of things that have bringing all these kinds of problems. Why is it like that? Why is it like that? Because the local church has a restraining value in the community. It's an asset. It makes a place a good place to live. You know, people come and they say, boy, I love to live here. Or most popular places to move. And why is it so great? Why is the community so strong? Because if you look at the history of it, there's been the restraining value of the church. I'd rather have a church on every corner than a strip joint or something like that, that makes a place a bad place to live as opposed to a good place to live. So there is a restraining value. And right here in Watauga County, the reason we don't have, there's an ordinance against strip joints. That's the only thing that can come to my mind. It's because years ago there was going to be one. It was going to be out in Deep Gap. They were calling it the Firehouse. And somebody got wind of that. They were putting out flyers, and churches came together and opposed. And as a result of that, they passed some laws. And so you're not going to have that in our county. Why? Because the church, because God's people got together and said, this is bad for our community. So we're talking about the restraining value. The community's most valuable asset is what the local church has to offer to that community. And so there's a great many things we could think about today, talking about the church. We've been talking about what I can do for my country. And so, of course, I'm a pastor of a church. I'm inclined to say it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. We find it in the Word of God. And so we hope it's been a help and a blessing to you today. We see our time is quickly coming gone. We do want to tell you one more time, we appreciate you listening in. We hope you have a great day and that the Lord will just continue to bless. It's a beautiful day, and we thank the Lord for that. We've had a couple of weeks of rain, and the sun has come out, and so we're thankful to see that. But you can find out more information on our church website, which is mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. And you've been listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, which is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Well, once again, thank you for listening in. Have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.